Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Metaphysical Hour. I'm Julia Cannon, and this is my co-host, Tracy Mahan.
Woo! Here we are. We made it. Oh,
fast fingers, Tracy. Yeah, fast fingers, Tracy. Will that work?
Okay, we'll do that. We won't explain why we're saying that. Just know these babies, they need recognition.
Yep, yep. Absolutely. Now Judy knows why. You know, all you have to do to understand what we mean when we talk about what's going on beforehand is just be on the show, and then you'll find out really quick.
Yeah, if you join us on the show, then you get to find out why we always look like we're in chaos when we go live. So
yeah,
mm-hmm. Okay,
yeah, with the little, is it the swans or the ducks that they talk about? You know, they're gliding along the water, but underneath it.
Well, this works perfect for the show because you only see from here up, so you can't see the feet doing that, right? Or the fact that we're in jammy bottoms. But anyway, it's all good.
I say nothing.
Well, and sometimes that's best to just say nothing. Yeah. So
anyway. Yeah. Well, first of all, we are continuing on our level 3 QHHT series, where we have, I think that's correct this time. Are you our newest level 3? I keep on saying our new level 3, and it's like, I think you are. No, you're not.
Oh, geez.
You are a very new one, though.
And one of the newest.
So excited. Yeah, just not the newest. You're now you're an alumni or whatever you want to call it when you're going down. You're there. You have somebody newer underneath you or behind you, whatever you want to call it. I need to stop talking.
Yeah, stop it.
Yes.
Anyway. We would love to welcome our level 3 practitioner, Judy. And how you say Koku?
Koku.
Okay.
Koku. Yes. Yeah. And all the way from Australia. Yeah. Here she is from down under, Judy.
Hello, everybody. Hello, Julia.
Hello. So excited you're here with us. Thank you for joining us from halfway around the world.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing that we can do this, though?
Yes.
Absolutely. So fun. And you always come to watch all the shows and support us. And I'm going to tell everybody right now, with all the funny little glitches, I don't think we're in a Mercury retrograde, but with all the little glitches, we're not broadcasting the way we usually do. So I'd like to say, come join me in the chat. But as I'm playing with this, to figure out where we're going to chat would be virtually impossible for all of us to figure this out. So if something comes to me in the show while we're interviewing Judy, I'm going to totally interrupt the interview to let you guys know how to find us and chat. Okay? Sounds good, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And you know, this is probably happening because Judy is on this side and not on the other.
What Yeah, because usually you're in the chat room cheering us on, giving us questions, really being a support system. But now you're on the show, so there's nobody to run the chat room.
Yeah, that's it. It's all because of you.
It's always so much fun to watch these shows. It's great. I love it.
Well, all I know, Judy, is you don't hold back. If you have something sarcastic to say to Julia, you say it. I'm here for you. If you need to point something out to her, I got your back.
Oh, dear.
I'm not trying to cause any trouble.
I love you, Judy.
But not at all. Not at all.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway.
I have to say, I have the best time with Judy because we do have a little relationship outside of these little radio walls where we message back and forth and share our QHHT stories with each other. And so excited to actually get to have you on the show. So very fun.
Oh, it's wonderful to be here and thank you for the opportunity. I don't know what's in store for me today from you, Tracy, but I'm shaking in my boots.
I'm so happy.
Yeah, she came on and she's like, I'm prepared. I'm prepared for whatever Tracy is going to do.
And I might have went, well, I have a few questions. The good news is it's blank. You're in good shape. We've got you here today, Judy. We love you. We want to share with you. We want to know your journey.
Yeah, absolutely. So how did you get into this? Let's go back. It's very similar to an interview. What?
Let's go back and back.
Back. The beginning. let's see what brought you to this world.
Yeah.
Spaceship, I think.
You went way back. Okay.
Well, I was going to call her Commander Judy on the show. You started it. Okay.
Don't ask me to explain that one.
Oh, but we will.
Well, we're all commanders. We're all in command of our own lives.
Oh, so nice save. Nice save. Beautifully done. Well played. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I preempted you, Tracy. So.
Yeah.
Remember, okay. She's been watching the shows.
She has. Yeah. She knows what's coming. Okay.
I do.
Anyway.
Well, I anticipate anyway.
Well, the floor is yours. So where do you want to start? How far back do you want to go? But we want to know your story.
Yeah. Well, I've had a really interesting life with many things that I've done and many paths that I've taken, but going back to childhood, I was always like many people, you know, you sort of feel that you just don't quite belong. You look at your family and you sort of, you know, there's something there that kind of makes you feel that you are different to everybody. But I sort of had a very challenging childhood, and I had things that supported me during that time, which was one of the things was at nighttime just sitting on my bed out watching the stars. I was constantly, you know, looking for something, and I didn't know what at that point. But I also had circumstances that created a lot of fear in my childhood as well. And I remember at nighttime that I would look out into this darkened space and I would see cherub-like beings floating around. So I always had the feeling that there was somebody watching my back, you know. So
nice.
That was quite comforting at that point. But I was about seven when I had the first sort of conscious understanding about different states of awareness. And that came about through having a close call with a car accident, not actually having the accident, but my parents had, the family had been to a New Year's Eve party and they had liberally imbibed of the festivities. And of course, there's a bit of loss of control of the vehicle on the way home. And I questioned at that time, why did adults do this? Why did they have to have other things, external things to them to bring about different states of being, i.e. happy or whatever? And I knew at that point in time that was reached internally. And that sort of has stayed with me my whole life, in as much as I've been very aware of what it is that I put into my body, knowing that I do not want to have anything that is external to me in order to be able to reach those different states. So that was an interesting revelation at that age. But in the background of my home, there was always, my mother was always very interested in spiritual things, and there wasn't a lot around at that point in time that she could access. So she turned to going to readers and clairvoyants and so on. And as a special treat during vacation, school vacation time, I was actually taken to see tea leaf readers. Okay. So that was an interesting experience.
Yeah.
But she also dabbled with a Ouija board and things like that. So it was always there in the background in the home life. Then when I was 15, I started a relationship with the person that I married a few years later, and he was studying naturopathy. So that brought a whole lot of a different field of experience to me with working naturally with the body in order to heal. And he was also very much into metaphysics, and I remember starting to read all sorts of books about Eastern philosophy. There was a writer around at that time called Lobsang Rampa. There's a whole set that was, it was, yeah, Eastern sort of philosophy. I started doing yoga. I became vegetarian. All those sort of things to kind of fine tune. And then I got really, really sick in that year. I got really, really sick and had an out-of-body experience. I actually thought I was dying. And it wasn't a significant out-of-body experience in as much as what other people have, but I was above my body and just questioning, you know, had I passed or what, because I knew how sick I was. Mm-hmm. And then I just went back in and eventually recovered.
Can I stop you right there? So you were just kind of hovering outside of your body or what?
I was just above. I was just above looking down. I'd collapsed on the floor and I was on my own and I, you know, just thought, okay. I must have died, but I didn't, obviously.
You didn't go further than that. You were just...
No, okay. No. Not that I am consciously aware of. Anyway.
I'm going to time this out here, right here. They did get the BBS Radio Facebook page going. Everyone's saying hi to the commander, so we're good. So if you guys want to join us in the chat, I am now over there. If you have questions for Judy, BBS Radio TV on Facebook. That is where we are streaming live, where you can actually chat with us. Okay, go ahead.
Super. Thank you. Okay, so then always... you pulled back in. So after that,
yes.
Okay.
Yes. So with all this going on in my life and returning back to my senior years in school, I became the school weirdo because I was into all this weird stuff.
And then you almost died. I mean, yeah, you saw yourself. So,
so shortly after I finished school, I was always intrigued as to what made people tick. So I went to university for a while with the object of studying psychology, but it didn't fit. It did not fit. It was completely different to where I was at and what I was beginning to understand. And so I left it at that and moved on with my life. And shortly after that, married. And my husband had at that point started studying acupuncture. Okay. And so we set up a clinic and I also studied that and became a practitioner. And that once again further expanded my understanding about energy and energy flow through the body and just how amazing the modality of acupuncture is, and saw just amazing results in the clinic that we ran together. But the next pivotal year, that next pivotal thing that came into my life, I was about 21, and I was newly pregnant at that point in time, and involved with a group of people that were just exploring different things, you know, within different issues that people had. And I had to undertake a task of addressing the fear that I had of being taken away in the night, which is something that was with me all my life.
Okay.
And the task that I had to do was, because I was quite scared of nighttime and so on, so the task that I had to do was to go to this island. At this point in time, I was living in the tropics in North Queensland, and off the coastline from the town that I was living in was an island called Magnetic Island. So there were a lot of anomalies there, having a name like that. So I had to hike into this bay. It was the only way to get in was either to hike in or boat in. I just took a little tent. I had my dog with me, which was quite comforting, and try and work this out. So I did survive the night, which was fine, but I had this very interesting experience which really blew the way I perceived the world. It blew that concept apart. And I was sitting on this beach, which was just beautiful, light-coloured sand, lovely turquoise water, and there are these big boulders, really massive boulders around the bay. And I was sitting there and the thought dropped into my head that I could lift that boulder up just with my little finger. The only thing that was stopping me was the belief that I couldn't do it. And that just shattered everything. So from then on, my life became a what if. You know, what if, you know, you can do anything. You can do absolutely anything. All that gets in the way is your belief that you can't do it or it doesn't exist, but everything. So that really changed my whole perception of living in this world. Mm. And at that point, it was very difficult. There wasn't anybody else around me that I could actually express this to. So, you know, it was just one of those things I just kind of kept to myself. Very shortly after that, about 6-7 weeks after that experience, my life changed again when I realised that I was going to be raising my child on my own. So it, you know, these things come along and blow you apart and wake you up, and you start learning more and more about who you are and what your strengths are and what you're capable of, and, you know, knowing that you can move through absolutely anything.
So fast forward
possibly about a year. My son was about 8 months old, and I got myself a Volkswagen combi van, a camper. Don't know if you might call them the same over there in the US.
No, but I can totally visualize you in this thing.
Yeah, you know, that little cube on wheels, a box on wheels
that
I lived in with my infant son, and we traveled from the top of the country down to the bottom of the country, having quite a few adventures and scenarios that cropped up along the way. But it was quite an undertaking for me to actually do that. I was fully on my own. I had the responsibility of an infant with me, but we had a good time. You know, I had a backpack. I'd chuck him in the backpack and go for walks, and he was a happy little chappy, and he'd be chatting away or burbling away to anybody that came along. And so it was a really interesting time, and I was just basically looking for somewhere new to live, start a new life. So I ended up in Victoria in Melbourne, and thought that I would set up an acupuncture clinic because that's what I'd most recently trained in. And I attempted to do that, but I realised at the time that actually wasn't my path either. I had the understanding of, you know, I'd learnt so much out of that experience and working in the clinical environment and seeing such a completely different way of addressing people's health issues. And back in that time period, I mean, that was the mid to late 70s. Mm-hmm. It was really classed as a voodoo type scenario back in those days. Yeah. It wasn't, you know, and particularly in the area of the country that we lived, it was, you know, the whole medical scenario wasn't very good, and this was just something that was just super weird. And, you know, but it was,
I remember, I mean, the 70s, massage was still,
oh, woo-woo. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so acupuncture was like, whoa. I mean, that was in the States. I didn't know how Australia was, but
yeah. Yeah. very much the same, if not even further behind. Mm. So it was a really weird thing to be in, but just, yeah, it was just so expanding as regards the belief in the medical system anyway. So that was really interesting. So the next, I then ended up moving into a number of different career paths, and they've all been so varied and different from each other. From acupuncture, I went into computer programming, and that was back in the days. What was that?
You're both energy. Energy pathways, right?
Yes. Yes, all the flow charts, you know, we had to work out these flow charts, and it was in the days of punch cards.
Grids and,
yeah.
Okay. Makes sense.
CPU, brain.
Yeah. I like the connecting. You good job. Way to find common ground.
It wasn't really varied. I mean, I'm just helping you. It's like, wait a minute, it really wasn't as far off the track as you. You just went with a different platform.
There you go. I sure did.
It's all circuitry, baby.
Yeah.
From that perspective, you are very correct, Julia. But that was like a stepping stone. I realized at the time the sort of work that was available at that particular point in time fairly much involved night work in correcting stuff, correcting programming problems, and generally was in the city area, and I lived quite some distance out of the city area, and I had a young child, so that just didn't work. But it was a platform for me to move into the travel industry. And
Of course. I get the connection.
Mm-hmm. It all makes sense. I'm just seeing Judy sitting with her counsel right now going, okay, when I come into this life as Judy, I want to make the most random yet in sync decisions ever. They're all going to be connected, but they're going to look so different. Nobody will understand.
And someday down the road, it will all make sense. It will all come together. And
it's all going to fall into place like little puzzle pieces. We got you. Keep going. You're going to make sense of this.
So moving into that industry, which I'd not had any experience, was a very much an exponential learning curve, but it was very enjoyable, and I really had a wonderful time when I was in that industry, and it gave me the opportunity to go and do some overseas traveling and so on. I actually even won a trip to Europe, which was fantastic. So that was really good. And, you know, just still single parenting. I spent 9 years single parenting, and then I met my current husband, who was in the tourism industry, and I was in the travel industry. So we joined forces and had a travel agency and tour operation together. And that was really, really enjoyable. We got to travel quite a bit with that too. Mm-hmm. And then we had a major life-changing event, which I know you also had, Julia.
Those happen. Those mm-hmm. happen. For whatever reason, for many, well, not even whatever, but they're yelling at me, for many reasons.
Yeah.
Many reasons, yes. But with the, we had the perspective that it was a complete fresh start for the two of us as a couple. Mm-hmm. And so away we went. We had an old vehicle and a couple of tents, and my son was about 14 at the time.
You didn't have to put him on your back this time.
Yeah.
No, it was a bit big.
Got you. Good pair of shoes. You're on your own. Let's go.
I actually forgot something something in there that always through all these changes of career and everything and being on my own was a huge amount of creative development. So I was really balancing out all the head stuff with all the creative stuff and doing a fair bit of writing and so on. And I was propelled into, by design, as we know it, working with colour. It was a system that was developed in England called Aurasoma, but there was a slight little branch off of that. So it was a system called Aura Light here in Australia. And with that, I was doing readings based on colour. People would select, these colours for different periods of their life. And that really, really, really opened up the knowing, the trusting what was coming in, the images that were coming in. That was fascinating. There was so much I learned out of that particular time period. And that coincided to...
I was wondering if, because you said that you were doing brought in this knowing and the trust and everything. So Can we go back a little bit further and say, okay, when that event happened, major life event, would you say that things were starting, did they start to change after that? Or it was like, pretty soon after that, or was it just when you started doing the light and the colors that it was like, okay, this trust and this knowing?
I started doing this just before the event.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right. And after the event happened and we set off looking
these events are about turning your life around. They're about
absolutely.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely. There was an aspect about my son's life that came out of that we seriously had to turn around. Mm-hmm. And then our own as well. It was as if we just had to completely discard our physical and emotional lives in this experience and move on to something completely different. And we both look back on that time period as being one of the best time periods in our life.
Wow.
Yeah, it was. We ended up back in the north of Australia in the tropics in a place called Cairns. Mm-hmm. And we just... built a wonderful life there. We just had wonderful experiences. Mm-hmm. I started off by doing the readings, and I was working out of a New Age bookshop, so I had all these fantastic books around me that I could just dive into if I wasn't doing a reading. But the what came out in for me and what I learnt and things that I'd never come across at all, you know, just came into my awareness, and that was absolutely wonderful. And the environment that we were living in too, because I'd been working with colour, I'd really appreciated the qualities of certain colours. And living in Cairns, the predominant colours were blue and green. And the blue and green is very much associated with feminine energy. And, you know, working with creativity and intuition and so on. So it was just constantly feeding that within me anyway. So that was really, really, really interesting. But I had to move into, I did move into another career change at that point. And I started teaching at the local college. And so I just did a little bridging course, which actually got me into teaching. And that was a really interesting experience as well, not only for me but for the students that I was teaching, because I wasn't coming from a traditional background of learning to be a teacher. I was drawing on my industry, my travel industry experience. That's what I was teaching in. Mm-hmm. But I was able to incorporate weird stuff into the way that I taught.
I want an example. You got to. What would be an example of how you weave that in?
Well, I had. I was teaching in the tourism and hospitality faculty. So, in the tourism side, they were like travel agency students. So, and they were all fine. They needed to learn what they were doing. But I also had to teach a class that was in the hospitality side. So they were the people that were going to be, you know, working in hotels and so on. And I had to sort of teach them some travel subjects. And I just had this incredible wall of resistance with this particular a particular group. There was about eight girls in there, and they had some other things going on with their particular course which had caused them a lot of dissatisfaction. So when I came along and had to teach them this subject, it was like, oh, brick wall. So I persevered for a couple of weeks and I thought, this isn't going anywhere. So on my scheduled day for my lesson, I took in all my colours and I said to them, we're going to do this a little bit differently today. We're going to see what it is about you guys that what it is that you're really drawn to and what it is that you really want to do, as opposed to being in this course for whatever reason that you are currently here. Let's have a look and see, go deeper into you and have a look at who you are. And after that, I had the meeting out of my hand. It was so accurate. It was so fantastic. It just completely shifted the whole dynamics of the class, and I had their full cooperation from then on, which was great. So, but, yeah, I sort of with my other group of students, I kind of structured my lessons somewhat differently so that I could cater for everyone's way of learning, because not everybody learns the same way. And I had some people that just, and I had some horrid subjects to teach too, like accounting and so on, which is just nobody wants to learn that.
And it's horrible. Oh my gosh.
Let alone teach a whole group of people in a total of 40 hours to be able to do a complete set of books. And it was like, ugh.
Oh no.
So, yeah. Wow. So I got sort of quite creative with that as well. And and I just was always saying to them, look, it's at the very end, it's all going to make sense. It's all going to drop. Everything's going to drop in together and you'll get it, you know, you'll get it. And they did, which was great. But it was just taking that little sort of a shift in perspective and understanding that people learn differently and catering for that, which really helped a lot of people be able to understand and work with their limitations or their way of doing things and get to the end result where they needed to be. So that was a really, really, really interesting. And
I'm calling a timeout because we just like were totally appalled by the accounting thing. And I cannot just pick on Judy because Linda is in the chat room going, some of us love it.
Some people are.
All right, Linda.
It takes a whole different person and brain and all kinds of things to be able, you know, to be that kind of a person. Would you agree?
I just think I want to commend Linda for stepping out and letting people know that this is who she is. And
yeah, absolutely.
Judy knows who I'm talking about. Linda and Judy go way back. So I just thought I should pick on her a little bit as well.
I love you, Linda.
But you do have a lot of hellos coming in the chat room as well, Judy. So
I love you. Hello, everybody.
When you do get the chance to jump in here, there's some sweet messages for you and stories. Awesome. So, okay. So now that we're over the trauma of the accounting, you taught that, you got creative. Linda's your cheerleader. We're just going to keep going.
we spent quite about 4 or 5 years in Cairns and where we lived too was really, really interesting because it was a flight path, and I'm not talking about aircraft either. That was very interesting to observe.
Well, let's go further into that. So, okay, go on. Well, we'll hear more about that.
South of Cairns, there was it's more of a hill, I suppose, but it was classed as a mountain, and it was called Walsh's Pyramid. And it was very pyramid shaped. Anyway, you would see the path going over that, going slightly out to sea because we lived right on the beach. So it was just slightly out to sea. And then it would shoot up into the range behind Cairns up into an area called the Atherton Tablelands. And where it went from there, I don't know. But that's an area that's very strong energetically. There's a lot of extinct volcanoes and so on. So it was very interesting to watch that at night. But anyway, fast forward.
Was it something that happened frequently, or I mean?
Yes.
Okay. Any yes. kind of pattern, any kind of, I mean, this would be something to study.
I'm just going to say there's no mistake that the commander sits in this. Just saying.
So true.
I do hope you get to give the audience a little taste of what commander means, but okay.
I don't think I have time. There's so much in my story.
Chop, chop. Let's get to it.
Okay, so we spent a few years in Cairns, and then my husband and I decided, my son had flown the nest at this point, and we decided that we were going to live on the road, travel around Australia, which we did for about 4 or 5 years. We built up a business in souvenir-type products, and we would be in the top half of the country in
now you're selling souvenirs?
More specifically, souvenirs based on the byproducts of the shark and crocodile industry. Mm, that's an interesting one.
Okay.
We dealt in some really weird
Which stuff. Lifetime are we on now? Because
it goes with travel.
What was that, Julia?
It goes with travel.
And with yes. surgery, and with acupuncture.
We'll
and
that part out in a minute. Let's go with travel.
Okay, keep going. We need another hour.
No, I haven't even got the QHH. So
yeah. Oh my God, that's right. That's the question. I forgot the question.
So we did that for about 4 or 5 years, and then guess what? I had another change of direction.
No, I can't do it.
This time I went
into furniture. Guys, Judy is 180 years old. And
I know, I hide my age so well.
Oh my God. Okay, change of direction. Let's do this. We're done with shark toys and bones from the sea. What else? Okay.
Put on foot back scratches, yes, all sorts of things. So I went into furniture design.
So that's of course you did, because yes. I'm in a mute.
So that was really interesting. I was working primarily with timber, but I did work with metal and a few other bits and pieces. But it led me into designing a product that I actually manufactured and produced and ran with and retailed or wholesaled and so on for quite a few years. And then I kind of stopped for a while. And I entered a really, really creative phase, and I joined a creative writing class because I'd been doing a lot of writing at times. I used to do a lot of poetry, which was more kind of like fun stuff, limerick kind of stuff, situational scenarios.
And I really wish we had more time right now because I'd really like to hear that.
Well, in preparation for that very question, Tracy, I did dash off a little limerick this morning, which was... On MH with Tracy and Julia, some topics may well bamboozle you, but their goofing is fun and they shine like the sun and the feeling of love they leave with you. So there we
are. Yay! Oh, I'm glad I asked.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway, let's get to 2018. 2018.
Oh my gosh. And, did you already skip over the rocket scientist piece, or did you?
That hasn't actually come about quite just yet.
Yeah, okay.
Give me time. So 2018, I spent the year doing a lot of writing. I was writing a series of 10 books for my granddaughter, and I wanted to illustrate them. And my drawing skills aren't very good, so I had to make models. And in doing my furniture design course, we always had to make little models of what we were going to make. So that put me in good stead to make all these tiny, tiny little models. The central character of my books was only 4 inches high, so everything had to be so in proportion to my little my little man that was in this book. And so I was having such a wonderfully creative year in 2018. It also coincided with somebody I met in the writing class. And she came in, she was a new person, came into the class, and she had this bag with her that had all American Indian design. I've very strong connection with that myself. So I struck up a conversation with her afterwards. And she told me about a group that she ran dealing with metaphysical stuff. She only came back to that writing class once more. And so her whole reason for being in that writing class was to connect me with Dolores, because in one of her meetings that I went to, somebody was talking about past life regression, and up popped the name Dolores Cannon. So when I came home, I went on and looked, and I went, so I downloaded the Three Ways of Volunteers, and my goodness, that was it. That was it.
The unraveling.
So I spent the entire year reading, I think, about 14 or 15 books. And prior to that, I was a really avid reader, but in reading this book, those books, you just could not read them at that pace. There was so much information, and many, many times I'd be sitting there reading and I'd nod off for about 10 minutes or whatever, because there's so much information coming out that I just had to process it. The only way I could do that was going falling asleep. So by the end of 18, I was really like, this is amazing. This is so interesting. So in January of 19, I went and had a session myself. And, of course, I asked the question, should I do QHHT? And, of course, you know what the answer was. Anyway, it was I'd been looking at the online course, and you were going to come to Sydney in the end of January, early February of 19, and the dates didn't suit. We had friends coming from overseas that we were going to do a trip with. And, of course, the SC did its shuffle, didn't it? And 2 weeks prior to the course, our friends cancelled. So that opened the way. And then I had a couple of other
good job, universe.
Exactly. I had a couple of other personal little roadblocks that I navigated through, and I was on that plane up to Sydney. And the rest, well, from the moment of walking into that room at the level one live class, I grabbed a front seat row, and it was just amazing. I was very much aware of your mum being there, overseeing everything. But that, I have to look back on that week as probably being one of the best weeks of my life. Oh, it was amazing. And, you know, with all my career changes, I always joke to people about, I don't know what I want to be when I grow up, but I grew up that day. That was it. This was it. So it was an amazing group of people. We had so many things in common, this group of 30-odd people. We had a very, very interesting common theme when it came for us doing our practice sessions.
Yeah.
But I was in a group of four for doing our sessions, and what came out of that was amazing. My very first session, I was thrown a curly one, and that set the scene for everything that was to come afterwards. But it was really interesting, and for those practitioners that are watching, came in on the death scene to start with, frantically going through the manual, death scene, what do I do, you know, blah, blah, blah. But to further complicate the issue, in the life that we went to, she was only sort of like a teenage girl, but she had been blind from birth, so she couldn't see anything. I was like, wow, okay. So that really set the scene for everything that was to follow with me. Mm-hmm. I had many, many different scenarios, but it was just absolutely fantastic. And you know, the bonds that people make and the networking from having those live and training sessions is really, really, really good. And I'll just put in here at this point in time that I've done the training for the level one companion. So I'd like to be very encouraging for those that have done the online course, if you can hook into doing the level one companion training and create that network and have that experience with the other people that have done the online, and you know, you just learn so much out of that joint shared experience. So fast track a little bit, 5 months down the track, doing level two in Byron Bay, and the rest is history.
Couldn't stop her once you got going.
No, fast tracking. Definitely the very fast tracker.
I just so love what I do. I am so passionate about it. You just never know what's going to crop up out of a session. It's just absolutely wonderful. The healing that takes place, it's just fantastic. And then, of course, I did this.
Yes.
Yes, you did.
which has been so interesting to watch how that plays out. It has been absolutely fascinating. Absolutely yeah. fascinating. But I'm certainly hoping, though, that, you know, that you're able to come back and do the live sessions around the world. That would be really, really good. And it would be great to see Tracy come with you if you do come back to Australia.
But in preparation, I didn't pay her to say that. I didn't. I promise.
I don't know.
In preparation.
You never know.
Nice. In preparation for that, though, I picked up when you had John McCluckie from the Gold Coast on the interview. He threw in a couple of sayings that you had no idea about. One of them being was sticky beak. Do you remember that?
I kind of remember. So he kept throwing in lots of terms, and
oh yeah, he talks.
See, there's nothing to associate, so it goes away.
Well, there is now, because I've got a copy for each of you, so that you are fully prepared when you come back to Australia.
Fantastic! We'll be Aussies.
Yay! I love it. Yeah, you know, I love how Judy came out for the reunion that was in Mount Shasta, yeah. which was the last. No, you guys had a reunion in Egypt, but that was the last one in the States. And
that one,
I just remember getting all this buzz about the Aussie ladies and all this, and I didn't know who they were. Aussie ladies.
It was wonderful.
Yes. And
over for that.
You guys were a hoot. So fate decided Tracy needs to meet the Aussie ladies. So they're going to go to dinner and we're going to put her right in the middle of, I think I was sitting between you and Kaya somehow, and you were having this I'm gonna create an accent, you were doing some sort of accent thing with Kaya, getting him to use his accents around the world, and you just kept egging him on, and I just thought, I love these ladies. I mean, it doesn't get better than that, right? so that was my introduction to Judy and gang. And I think we just have been friends ever since. That just sealed the deal. It was like, okay, I don't know who you are, but we got to be friends. You on Facebook?
that was a wonderful weekend. I mean, who in their right mind would, you know, undertake a 16-hour flight for starters and then a 4-hour car trip just for a couple of days?
Right.
Yeah, here's the girl thing. She does that, and she lands, and she comes into the ecstatic dancing. Right?
Yeah.
Like that was to get you through your jet lag.
Oh, that's great! Yes, I love it. So, tell people really quick, what does Commander mean, and then how do we find you?
Yeah. Now, how do they find the commander, or how do they find her for
sessions? If they find Judy, they find the commander. And I'm going to tell you that that's going to be an extraordinary experience. So
you can find me on QHHD official under the practitioner listing. And also my website is mylifespurpose.com.au.
Wonderful.
Fantastic. Also on Facebook, Judy Goku. Sorry, what was that?
And where are you in Australia? And I didn't mean that over.
I'm in I'm near a town called Bairnsdale, which is in the state of Victoria. It's about three, four hours away from Melbourne. Okay. So I'm out in the country, and it's a lovely place to come and visit.
Fantastic.
I like that. That's an invitation. As soon as all the airlines and all of the borders open up again, we're all going to be ready to travel, I think.
So the other I've seen you two in my house.
Okay.
Yay. I like it. Just keep visualizing that, Judy. Just keep visualizing.
Okay, oh, crops up often, actually. It's quite interesting. It just random here, there.
Yeah. Okay, so did I miss the commander thing?
I didn't really say.
I'm not letting it go.
All right. We got a minute. Let's get it in there, Commander. I'm going to summarize. Judy had a session where she was a commander of a ship, and meaning a spaceship, an ET. Yeah, she is the commander, and part of her purpose here on the planet was because she's part of this collective. So that's why I was teasing that I was going to call her commander. But you can see she has this energy. Yeah. So yeah, it's just extraordinary to know Judy. If you guys are in her area, please just look her up, get a session. You will not be disappointed. It's going to be a good time no matter what. So yeah. All right.
Thank you, Tracy. So,
Julia, how do people get to become a practitioner like Judy, like myself?
Yeah. If you're having this draw that resonates with you to help other people to find out who they really are, or, you know, man, look how you discover yourself in the process. And, you know, and it's a wonderful way of helping people. Just go to QHHTofficial.com. And on the front page, there are several links right there to the level one online course. There's also in the menu bar, you can just go to courses and it'll take you right there. All the information you could want. And then if it feels right to you, come on.
Yeah, join the family. Obviously, we have a good time.
We have a great time.
Yes. Wonderful.
Tracy, how can people find you?
Well, the same way. Go to QHHTofficial.com. Find a practitioner. I'm in Portland, Oregon, just outside of Portland, Oregon. And there's also my website, TracyMahan.com. So, perfect.
Perfect.
Yay. Well, Judy, it's been so fun. We could do this for another hour, but yeah, I love all of your career moves. That's been enlightening and fascinating. So, all right. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you for having me.